And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I mean, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this show from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to the loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to Wilmington, once again, Fort Benning, and then all the way up to cover big old patches of North Georgia and then Mississippi, too, all for good measure. Listen, that's just the radio audience. So there's a ton of y'all that are listening by radio. Obviously, right now, you can tell by the audience engagement we get on this show, but then there's all of y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show, looking in on the cameras at what we got going on inside the studio, live streaming on places like Facebook, X, YouTube, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then podcasters, all y'all podcasters that catch it after the fact. Listen, the bottom line is, I point all that out to say, we know where you are, and we love you wherever you are. If you're catching this show in whatever format, it means the world to us that you do. Absolute, wouldn't want to be here if it weren't for y'all. Thank you very much for making this show just a joy to be a part of with you. I got a ton of text messages that I will also try to cover down on a little bit more as we go on. I'm going to be switching dippers here momentarily. But I got to tell you, I mean, as long as Trump is, you know, closing in on crime-fighting status, I mean, he's like Batman, right? As long as Trump is out there actually fighting for the right to clean up our streets and make our country safer, maybe we ought to turn our attention to something that happened very quietly last week and did not get much airtime, if you know what I mean. Because we've just learned that last Thursday or Friday, Trump very quietly signed an executive order. You know, and listen, when have you known Trump to be quiet? Yeah. But I will tell you this. He understands the mission. And he knows when he has to get something done that may not make people, you know, very cooperative or happy, he'll do it anyway. That's one of the things we love about him, is he's willing to stand up there with that bulletproof influence and just wear it out. But he also understands there's going to be times when he has no choice but to go ahead and get something done and do it quietly so that they can move forward. He issued an executive order last week to begin taking military action against drug cartels. Woo! Can I have some applause or something on that? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Mama. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Be in the area all day. Thank you. So Trump issued an executive order directing the Pentagon to prepare options to use force against drug cartels. Story broke, I think that Wall Street Journal may have had it first. Somewhat of a leak, but not really, because it's still an executive order. But did you see a press release? No. Was there a press conference? No. Did he do a big Truth Social and say thank you for attention to this matter? Not that I recall. The story here on ABC, Donald Trump has directed the Pentagon to prepare options for the possible use of U.S. military force against drug cartels designated as terrorist organizations. One official said that any possible use of military assets is not imminent, meaning it's not like he did that to authorize the big invasion they've already been planning. But I think what he's doing is taking the gloves off. I have been saying on this show for quite some time that the war on drugs is as costly to the lives of Americans right now as any war we've ever been in. Just fentanyl alone. Hey, JP, would you look this up before I quote a number? It's well over 100,000, but what's the total number of fentanyl deaths in the last, I don't know, pick 5 years in America. Last 5 years, fentanyl deaths in the U.S. What do we know?
Let's see here. I may have to find a exact number. I'll have to do some digging.
Yeah, do a little bit. Last I saw, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 170,000. Think about it. If there was a terrorist organization that blew some things up and killed 170,000 people, the U.S. military would be literally launched within days to go strike back at whoever did it. And yet, the drug cartels, truthfully, with help from some foreign actors like China, are pushing fentanyl across our borders at record rates. And the cartels, it's a multi-billion dollar a year industry. And they are making bank on killing Americans. And they're doing it with an amazing amount of skill. I mean, right now it's to the point that they are using drones to lift things across the border and drop them off to their drug runners. They don't even have to pay mules all the time anymore. It's not always about people crossing the Rio Grande with a backpack on. They're not always sneaking it in the hubcaps of some vehicle across the border. Now they're flying them by drones. It's a whole new world. And so we got counter-drone activity, we got border surveillance, we got all the things we have to do, and we're getting shot at the same time. Oh, by the way, they're still killing Americans. I have said multiple times on this show, the day is going to come when the cartels have overreached, and you're going to watch something blow up in the jungles of South America. A drug lab suddenly catching a Tomahawk cruise missile right down the middle of the smokestack. You watch. Well, now we have an executive order that issues authorizing the Pentagon to prepare military operations to go against the cartels. Pentagon referred all questions to the White House, asked for comment. White House spokesperson Anna Kelly told the ABC News that President Trump's top priority is protecting the homeland, which is why he took the bold step to designate several cartels and gangs as foreign terrorist organizations. Well, listen, the bottom line is they're awake, they're paying attention, they're worried. You know why? Because automatically, some of the leaders of foreign nations began speaking out. Wait, hey, ho, you can't do that. Claudia Sheinbaum, who's the president of Mexico, still cracks me up that the president of Mexico was named Claudia Sheinbaum.
Yeah, it doesn't really match.
No. That's like a Jewish New York grandmother or something.
Yeah.
Claudia Sheinbaum. Miss Sheinbaum, oh, the gefilte fish, all the svetting you should know. Oh, you mashugana. What are you doing over there? Anyway, that's my impression of a Jewish grandmother in New York City.
That's good.
You like it? Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum on Friday dismissed the idea of the U.S. military targeting drug cartels in Mexican territory. I wouldn't go that far. The U.S. is not going to come to Mexico with the military, she said. We cooperate. We coordinate. There won't be an invasion. That is ruled out. You can rule it out if you want to. I don't think Trump's ruled it out. I think Trump has probably promised that he'll make that the last resort. But right now you got Tren de Aragua, the Sinaloa cartel, MS-13, and several others, one of which, by the way, and I got to look at the name, I think it's called Las Solas, or De Las Solas. It's the Cartel of the Sun, Cartel de Las Solas, I believe. You know who the head of that is? They believe it's Maduro himself, the president of Venezuela. So right now, the other thing you've got going on is that Pam Bondi just announced a $50 million, how do I get in on this? A $50 million reward for anyone who can help bring Maduro into captivity. What? That's the president of a foreign nation. What?
That's nuts. By the way, I was just going to say, I did some math. I think 327,000 fentanyl deaths in America since 2020. So that's 5 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
300 and what?
327,000.
327,000.
Okay, since 2020.
Divide that now. It's not all here.
Yeah.
But divide that by 50. That would be the equivalent of how many per state?
6,543.
That'd be like having over 6,500 deaths per state.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years.
So the peak during that time period was 2023, where there was 107,000. And that's not even including the deaths so far in 2025. You know, who knows what will be at the end of 2025. But yeah.
I'm hoping it's going to go down with the border controls.
It is going down, yeah. That's what some of the sites and sources are noting, that there's been a decrease. But still, that's... Yeah, because last year was 48,000, where the year before that it was 76, year before that. So, yeah, it's slowly going down, but still crazy too much.
That's unreal. Think about how many that is. I mean, that's literally 300 times what we lost on 9/11.
Yeah.
And we went to war for 20 years over it. 300 times. And they're all coming from the same sources, the same cartels.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a piece on the BBC. The BBC talks about Mexico saying that they're not going to have an invasion by the U.S. We cooperate. We collaborate. There's not going to be an invasion, said President Claudia Sheinbaum. She also went on to say this. She said the Mexican government was informed that an order on cartels was coming and that it had nothing to do with the participation of military personnel. What? I mean, what are we hearing there? Speaking to reporters, she said, it's not a part of any agreement. Far from it. When it has been brought up, we have always said no. I don't care if a rat squat what she said. Because here's the bottom line. They are doing better, and I will admit that. Mexico has been shamed into having to do more. They have been taking efforts using their military to try and interdict drug trafficking. But has it stopped it? No. And are there still cartels that are in bed with Mexican government officials? Absolutely. And do we need to see something happen? Absolutely. And so right now what you're looking at is Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the designation of U.S. target of the U.S. targeting cartels, including through intelligence agencies and the Department of Defense. He says we have to start treating them as armed terrorist organizations, not simply as drug dealing organizations. The New York Times report says the directive signed by Trump provides, quote, an official basis for the possibility of direct military operations against cartels, both at sea and on foreign soil. This is next level. I'm just telling you guys, I felt the need to have to bring this up because this is, first of all, I've been saying this on the show for a long time, that it's going to get pushed to the point that the cartels, who never know when to stop, cartels are worse than liberals for not knowing when they've gone too far. The insatiable need to get the next dollar for their multi-billion dollar enterprise, which results typically in the next death, which results in the next, you know, the next murder, mass murder, you know, south of the border. The gang war is going on. There are places in Mexico. You couldn't pay me to go on vacation to Mexico right now. I know some people would differ with that. I have some friends that went recently. You couldn't pay me to go to Mexico for vacation right now. It's like the murder capital country of the world. People getting kidnapped. I mean, I realize there are good people that live there and they probably have infrastructure and there's lots of neat things. And I've been there. And I would agree with some of that. You still couldn't pay me to go there right now. I mean, not without like a complete, you know, security detail to guard my six at every turn. But that being said, those drug cartels, they are extremely well organized. They recruit their henchmen straight out of the military. They have skills. They're putting in landmines. They're using drones. Some of them have armored vehicles. They have sniper rifles. This is not just like a bunch of backwoods, sweaty, got the old AK-47 bunch of guys. It's not. It's a multi-billion dollar enterprise, and they put money into their security efforts, and they've got a small army. And it's not just there. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you about Cartel de las Soles and the $50 million reward for the leader of that one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. That's right. Using that bulletproof influence. That's right. All right, so text it in if you have thoughts on this. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. What are your thoughts on the idea of Trump designating the cartels as being the recipients of possible DOD or military action? That's what he's doing. He is saying that he is authorizing the use of military force against the cartels. It's a whole new day. Now, some of those cartels are extremely interesting, if you know what I'm saying. I've got a piece here from Breitbart. Breitbart, Dateline yesterday. Because I mentioned to you that Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum immediately came out and tried to assure her people, they're not going to invade the United States. It's not going to happen here. You wait. Claudia, I don't think you got it going on. Listen, I'm just saying. But Claudia also quickly got out there and defended Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro, who has been formally accused by the U.S. government, according to Breitbart, of being the leader of the narco-terrorist organization known as the Cartel de las Soles. Cartel, that's the Cartel of the Sun, I believe is how that translates. Cartel of the Sun has a $50 million reward out for his capture now. During her morning conference, Sheinbaum claimed that her government has no open investigations on Maduro, tying him to any cartels. If the U.S. government has any, they must show the evidence, she said, for their accusations. Does anybody remember a guy named Manuel Noriega? It's before your time, JP.
I think this okay, is good.
1989, I believe. 1989, Manuel Noriega, el presidente, el jefe of Panama. And Manuel Noriega was one of the most corrupt government officials in all of Central and South America. Manuel Noriega began making it very difficult for our military installations in the Panama Canal Zone. He also was the leader of crime himself. He was a thug. He was a tyrant. And then there's the Panama invasion. Where in 1989, George W. Bush authorized the use of military force, we went in and captured Manuel Noriega. This basically, we invaded the country. The Ranger Regiment, the 82nd Airborne, elements of the 101st, and a bunch of, I think the 7th ID, and a bunch of others. All went. We had SEAL teams coming in from offshore. It was a full-on military-scale conventional invasion. And we took the government down, and we took Manuel Noriega captive, brought him back to the U.S. and tried him for his crimes. That was after the death of several Americans, including one service member, if I recall. Don't think for a second that Trump is not aware of history. Trump is not aware of the fact that we have just a little bit of history in the Panama invasion. And for those who think there's not a parallel, I beg to differ. I think there absolutely is. Are there American interests? Certainly. Is there a threat to American interests and American lives? Certainly. Is there a now an executive order authorizing the use of defense? Yes, there is. Are we doing everything we can to resolve it through diplomatic means? I believe we are. But is it becoming something that no longer can be tolerated? I think we're well past that point. So all that to say, I am not looking for us to invade Venezuela. I don't want to invade Venezuela. But don't forget that Venezuela is also the place where they just decided to go ahead and nationalize U.S. interests. We had U.S. companies down there that were drilling oil under contract who suddenly lost their entire investment because Venezuela decided they wanted it. And so Venezuela just, you know, nationalizes American businesses. How's that work? Well, right now, Claudia Sheinbaum's defending Nicolas Maduro. Nicolas Maduro, the tyrant who took over from the previous tyrant. Breitbart of Texas reports that the U.S. government announced they were designating the Cartel de las Solas as a specially designated global terrorist and named Maduro as their leader. Cartel de las Solas is allegedly run by the top government and military officials in Venezuela. Can you imagine that? We got something almost as big as the Sinaloa cartel. And it's actually run by government officials, including potentially the president of the country of Venezuela. The U.S. first announced a reward for Maduro in 2020 following the unsealing of a criminal indictment against him of drug trafficking. Following the new terrorist designation, the government has since increased the pressure and sought to impose new financial sanctions. This past week, the U.S. government also announced they were raising the $25 million reward for Maduro to $50 million. I mean, we've done things like we have seized his assets. We seized two of his airplanes, I believe. Maduro is a bad guy, and he's the president of an entire nation. And he is literally a destabilizer in the region. I'm not advocating for military, but I'm telling you right now, you see parallels in Manuel Noriega and Nicolas Maduro. I do. And do you remember all the guys who came back, all the paratroopers out there who came back with combat jump stars on their wings? Yes, I do. It was an amazing time. Now, when we get back from this, I've got a great piece from the Atlantic Council that's going to describe in detail what we might see. Like, what are the levels that we might see in which this could escalate to the use of military force? Because I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find a news conference that says, hey, I did this thing last night. But in terms of a broader campaign, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I'll tell you more about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. I got to read some text messages and I'm going to jump back in. And I got to also read you a couple of, you know, just the asinine things that libs are saying on social media. I mean, it just boggles the mind. All right, to the first dipper about the Trump on crime, about Trump federalizing law enforcement for Washington, D.C. Somebody named Keith Edwards, who has a big following on Twitter. Keith Edwards calls himself a democracy enjoyer and a YouTuber. Anyway, Keith Edwards says, Second Amendment people who warned about a tyrannical government are real quiet right now. No, I'm not. I'm not quiet. I'm telling you right now for 3 hours on radio, this had to happen. Somebody else named Malcolm Nance, who I'm not familiar with, but his profile claims him as a U.S. intelligence expert with 36 years experience in terrorism and U.S. extremism. Okay. And something about dead Russians. Okay. And he's a best-selling author. Okay. has a Ukrainian flag on his profile. Okay. Says Trump is executing his white supremacist strategy to criminalize black kids. It's Central Park Five on a national scale. Shut up. That's just unreal. That is so asinine. That is just like, that's just jackassery, and it's not even an official act of government. It just is. Matt from Madison, checking in on our text lines, he says, I'm Jewish, and that impression was spot on. I did my Jewish grandmother impression earlier. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. Mazel tov, brother. Anyway, appreciate you. He says, how are your blintzes, by the way? You don't want nothing I cook. Nothing. You don't want nothing I cook. That's enough of you. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel, Paul, I remember 1989 and earlier very well. A lot of mustard stains. Interesting times. For those who don't know, mustard stains are what you call the subdued version of your jump wings has a gold star on it. It's called the mustard stain because it comes out kind of yellowish on the patch. Just so you know, one of those inside things.
It's pretty cool, actually.
I don't have one, but I did covet. Anita from Hatton, Alabama says, in reality, cartels are using weapons of mass destruction. They really are. Think about it in terms of this being something like, I don't know, chemical warfare.
Or launching missiles across the border that killed like 70,000 people within a year. That's pretty much what they're doing with fentanyl.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just doing it in a sneaky way.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable what they're getting away with. A couple more things on this, and I'm going to tell you too about this U.S. military action, how it could unfold, if at all. So I got a piece here from the Epoch Times. The Epoch Times, the U.S. Department of the Treasury now imposed sanctions just last week against three high-ranking members and a prominent associate of the Mexican Cartel de la Noresta, known as Los Zetas. All right, Los Zetas and Sinaloa are the two biggest cartels in the Mexican region, the Mexico region. The Department of the Treasury's Office of Foreign Asset Controls announced that it has sanctioned four key individuals in Los Zetas. They are identified. I don't have to give you their names. Just bottom line is they're, you know, Hispanic names. High-ranking members of the whole cartel. The designated individuals have been facilitating a widespread campaign of violence and narco-terrorism that includes crimes like murder, beheadings, drug trafficking, extortion, and money laundering. This is part of a coordinated effort with Homeland Security and Drug Enforcement Administration. And so that goes straight to a point that I'm about to make. You might wonder, okay, if we have... In fact, let me do this first. New York Times had a piece that came out last Friday. Who has been designated? I'll tell you who they are. The Sinaloa Cartel, based in western Mexico. 30 years old as an organization. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel, that's the other big one. Jalisco in western Mexico. Cartel de Noresta, they're based in northeastern Mexico, right below Texas. Then you've got MS-13 linked to El Salvador. And then you've got the Gulf Cartel in Tamaulipas State, northern Mexico. And then you got La Nueva Familia Michoacana, which is basically in western Mexico. Major cartels. Those are the ones designated as terrorist organizations. And now Trump has authorized the Department of Defense to possibly take military action. It's not just DEA. It's not just CIA. It's not just Department of Homeland Security at the border. It's not just National Guard troops stopping the cross-border operations. It's actual potential for eight Latin American cartels, including six from Mexico, to experience the wrath of the U.S. military. And I got to wonder, how would that play out? So think back. I got this piece from Atlantic Council. Really good piece. Really solid. Dateline today. The Atlantic Council has this piece that says, reminds us, first of all, if you remember, Trump gave a speech back in March, and he didn't mince words on anything. He said, the cartels are waging war on America, and it's time for America to wage war on the cartels. Bold move, Cotton. But then he designated eight cartels as terrorist organizations. And then, I remember that. I'd forgotten about this. The Mexican Senate approved the presence of the U.S. Army's 7th Special Forces Group. So if you're not familiar, all of our special forces, the Green Berets, all of our Green Beret groups, one of their primary missions is known as FIDUW, Foreign Internal Defense and Unconventional Warfare. In other words, going in and helping train other foreign governments' military. Or sometimes, for that matter, going in and helping raise up an army where there has been none by working with the indigenous personnel. So special forces are, there's multiple groups. There's first group, third group, fifth group, seventh group. There's two in the guard. There's 19th and 20th in guard. And they have regional allocations. Seventh Special Forces Group is designated largely for Central and South America. Seventh Group was just approved by the Mexican Senate a few months ago to do the first ever joint training with Mexico's elite naval marines. Why is that a big deal? Well, first of all, because it's never happened before. That's why. And now you've got 7th Group guys literally on Mexican soil helping train the Mexican military. That's a whole new day. The U.S. also imposed new tariffs on Mexico to pressure them into greater cooperation against cartels. Yes, that happened. On orders from the president, U.S. Northern Command launched deployments to the southern border. Yes, they did. Central Intelligence Agency has now been approved for drone flights, approved by Mexico, to gather intel on the cartels, all of which may indicate the U.S. is on the verge of direct military action. By the way, direct military action is a phrase of art, all right? It's a term of art. You've got indirect action and you've got direct action. Direct action missions are force on force. Direct action missions are going in and blowing stuff up. So what would happen? I mean, this particular article, in a very cogent fashion, lays out what I would call a four-part sequence of events. The first is the building of relationships and training, meaning we establish that rapport. The 7th Group guys see a larger presence. They're training up military. They're doing what they can to work with our Mexican counterparts. They're giving them things they didn't have before. They're strengthening their posture, straightening their spines, and giving them training they would not have otherwise gotten. That building of relationships and training is already underway. It started months ago. Don't tell me this wasn't planned before he got elected. I'm telling you right now, they came into office. This administration came into office ready to rock. I'm talking locked, cocked, and ready to rock. They were on the ground running because plans had been laid long before he took the oath of office. Well, one of the things that's happening right away already is that we are seeing the building of relationships and training between military forces of our two countries. All right, what next? Identifying targets. Well, I just told you, CIA has got drone ops now. They've got drone ops all over Mexico approved by the Mexican government. Covert's one thing, overt is another. So what might this mean? Well, for instance, the Sinaloa cartel, one of two cartels, it points out, reportedly responsible for the majority of drug trafficking in the U.S., is likely high on the list. They're the most powerful drug trafficking organization in the Western Hemisphere. Their influence extends way beyond narcotics. They have deep ties to China and the fentanyl trade, but they also are well into business extortion, illegal mining, oil theft, and then infiltrating businesses to launder money. They use Chinese government as money laundering. It's just unreal, the operations they've got. They're a huge deal. Targeting. Targeting's ongoing right now, I guarantee you. Step three, covert action and shock and awe. Trump's a big fan of our special operations. And it's highly likely right now that what they're doing is they're dusting off old plans for JSOC, the Joint Special Operations Command. If you're not familiar, in the military, you have a unified command called JSOC. That's where all of our special mission units are housed. Things like Delta, SEAL Team 6. You've also got JSOCs in control of the Ranger Regiment. And they've got a few other elements you're not supposed to name online. But the bottom line is, all the special mission, and of course the 160th Special Operations Aviation, they're all under JSOC command. JSOC is likely working with CIA paramilitary to work on secret covert operations. This is where you find recon teams laying on a drug field or a drug lab in the jungle, bringing in drone strikes. This is where you find a single kill or capture event that has a small team that goes in and comes back out. This is where you find any number of efforts that happen and everybody looks around going, what just happened? What was that? Who did that? We don't know. It's never whispered, more than whispered, as to what it was. But then there's shock and awe. Shock and awe is what you might expect to have happen when the targets have been identified, And Trump makes an announcement and says, this morning, I authorized offshore assets of the U.S. Navy to launch Tomahawk cruise missiles, and there's a drug lab that will no longer be sending fentanyl into our United States. Not just in Mexico, y'all. This might be down in Venezuela. This might be down in... All I'm saying is, step three is covert action plus shock and awe. And then lastly, I will say this. There's concession and enforcement. Concession is when, after pretty much letting the cartels understand who the new sheriff is, they begin to negotiate a ceasefire and a cessation of activities. That's when cease and desist becomes an agreement. That's when they stop doing certain things. Now, when do we start? That's what I want to know. When do we start? I think it's overdue. I think the cartels have had the run of things for a long time. I think the cartels have had probably millions of Americans that have died at their hands. And their excuse will be, if you didn't have so much demand, we would not provide supply. Bull crap. If you didn't provide supply, we wouldn't have as much demand, would we? And by the way, we'll do what we can with our people to stop the demand. At the same time, we're going to stop you with supply. What's going to happen next? I suspect what you're going to wind up seeing is unconfirmed reports that something happened in a jungle somewhere or that somebody was snatched off a street somewhere, and it's going to be covert activity. I think you're going to see that. And then I think you're going to wind up seeing the cartels bucking up, demanding protection from their government overlords. And then I think you're going to wind up seeing something blow up in a big fashion. And Trump will make an actual announcement and say, told you I was going to do it. That's what I think could have happened. And that's where we are right now. And JP just had the numbers a minute ago. Over 300,000 Americans died from fentanyl alone just in the last 5 years. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. Woo, that was a heavy one. We're going to come right back. Let's talk about Democrats running away. That's fun. That's a hoot. That is just crazy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, thank you to all of you who had great things to say about the fact that I got to be on CNN again last week. They're flying me back up again this coming Friday. So I encourage you, check it out. If you have not seen the clips of me mixing it up with some of the more liberal persuasion guests on CNN, it's on our YouTube right now. It's also on my social media, at Sin Phil Williams, on both Twitter and Facebook. In fact, we got a ton of views on that, so thank you very much. But yeah, go check it out. You can at Sin Phil Williams on X and at same thing, Senator Phil Williams on Facebook.
Just
right?
Phil Williams on
just
Facebook.
Just Phil Williams on Facebook.
Okay. You'll see a nice picture of Phil. Yeah, you'll know who it is.
Yeah, it's me. It's a nice picture.
Hey, real quick. I just want to ask you. I didn't want to interject last segment with this question. I mentioned to you off air. It's sort of a legal question here of you're talking about Maduro and his involvement.
Oh, yeah.
His direct involvement potentially with the Tren de Aragua gang. So was it in May of earlier this year the Supreme Court shot down the Trump administration using the Alien and Sedition Act to deport Tren de Aragua gang members because they couldn't prove that we were technically at war with Venezuela directly. I wonder if the president, Maduro, is directly involved and they can actually prove that with the Tren de Aragua gang. Does that actually count as Venezuela conducting war against our nation? I think
that's fascinating.
Their claim was that there wasn't a formal declaration of war. We haven't had a formal declaration of war since World War II.
Hang on, JP. I'm sorry. Who was this on the phone? The president's calling. He wants you to come be an advisor.
I don't know. I thought that was funny. I'm like, what else would you need if the president himself of Venezuela is directly involved with them? Like that seems like a pretty formal declaration of war to me. I don't know. But like I said, if we're looking for the United States Congress to actually declare war, we haven't done that since 1942. And we've had the war on terror. We've had other instances. So it's like, what are you looking for? You know? I don't know.
I think we did do it for the war on the initial war in Afghanistan, didn't we? Like, declare war.
I don't think so. I looked it up. This is the last time Congress formally declared war was 1942.
Wow.
World War II.
Okay, we need to check on that because I thought in the wake of 9/11 we absolutely did. But anyway, the bottom line is, your question is fascinating because it's not just Tren de Aragua having government sanction in Venezuela. But you've also got this new one that I talked about a minute ago, Cartel de las Soles, which is the drug cartel that is believed to be run by Maduro himself. Now, is the intel accurate? I don't know, but we're putting it out there that he is.
I feel like we wouldn't put it out there unless we were pretty certain.
We're pretty certain, and or we're pretty much going to use that as a pretext. How about that?
Yeah.
So your question, let me frame it again. Your question is, if they said we're not at war in order to repatriate Tren de Aragua members under the Aliens and Sedition Act, then does that go away if we declared Cartel de las Soles a foreign terrorist organization as well as Tren de Aragua, and now we have reason to use military force against Maduro?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Because, I mean, if us...
That's quite the artful collaboration of ideas there, man.
If us declaring them terrorists isn't enough, I feel like that should be. That's just me, though.
Again, Manuel Noriega. Mm. He fooled around and found out.
Yeah.
Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show, I mean, goes from, like, all the way from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Call it once again Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show, live streaming, like video and audio, looking inside the studio to see what we're wearing today. But the bottom line is all y'all out there on places like Facebook, X, YouTube, Rumble, our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then there's all y'all that are podcasting. After the fact, catching the show and catching up on stuff you missed. Listen, the bottom line is this. However you catch this show, just please know we appreciate it. It means more to us than you could possibly imagine. And I'm going to actually make a request. I'm going to make a shameless plug and a request. We got a lot going on here at Right Side. And a part of the way we grow is by y'all's participation. Believe it or not, it's not just what we can do. It's what y'all do with us. And so when I say that, what I'm asking for is, if you go to our YouTube page and just click subscribe, it does nothing for you, it doesn't cost you anything, but it tells YouTube that we have active participation, and the more we get subscribe or on X get followers or on Facebook get likes or and people who want to, you know, track what we're doing, all I'm saying is those platforms actually open the door for us to do more and to grow as a business if we have that level of activity. We have been growing exponentially in the past year, especially the last 8 to 9 months. And that's because of y'all. But I'm going to ask you again, especially on YouTube right now, if you would not mind, go to YouTube, find our channel, Right Side Media, and just click subscribe. And you'll get just notifications when you open YouTube that something has happened on that one you subscribe to. It doesn't cost you anything. It means everything to us. So anyway, there's that. Thank you very much. We would appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much. You brought up a great point. Caused me to do some digging. Something I had forgotten about, and I think we even talked about it off the air. You called it that fine line of legal parlance that, you know, that that parsing of the words. But so JP, not that I doubted you, but we have not had a formal declaration of war since World War II. What we typically have is a joint resolution of Congress doing what's called an AUMF, an authorization for the use of military force. does that not seem like somebody just like some lawyer got involved?
Yeah, that's like rephrasing. It's like, no, you can't go to war. Okay, but what if I just used military force? Oh, by all means. Yes. Go right ahead.
But we don't want to be the ones to say it.
Yeah.
Like, don't make us say it. Oh, I tell you what, certainly. If you want the Ranger Regiment to jump in, we understand.
Yeah.
If you need to launch some artillery and move some naval strike forces into the carrier strike groups into the region, by all means.
And what would you say Vietnam was called?
A police action.
A police action, yeah. We were there for how long with how many Americans died?
Easily.
And we still got veterans dying. Both of my grandfathers dying from, you know, Agent Orange and stuff. Just a policing action. That's ridiculous.
Well, they were policing.
Yeah.
The whole time they were there, policing. But yeah, Congress did not formally declare war even on Iraq But they did have a joint resolution of Congress, the AUMF, for military force, even like in the first Gulf War and the secondary invasion of Iraq. And AUMF, by the way, apparently it's like I said, like a, just a resolution of Congress authorizing the president to do stuff. And it's, you know, it's, you hear, here's the thing. You're going to hear liberals say, we did not authorize this. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Yes, you actually did. But you also abdicated your authority by not authorizing anything. You didn't get involved. If so, if Congress is out there saying, well, we think that he ought to come back to Congress and ask for a declaration of war. You didn't give him that when 9/11 happened. So, I mean, you didn't give him that when we had to do the troop surge in Iraq. You didn't give him a declaration of war when we went to rescue American interests in Grenada. You didn't give him a declaration of war when he went down there and captured Manuel Noriega. You didn't give him a declaration of war for any of this stuff. None of it. There wasn't even a declaration of war for Korea when China came across the parallel and just like, you know, we, but now but libs especially are going to beat the drum.
Yeah, well, that's why I think it's silly when the Supreme Court said you can't use the Alien and Seditions Act unless there's a formal declaration of Congress, because it's like, come on, please. Like, you really think, like, that's the games that we're still... I mean, I guess you can say that's technically what the Constitution says, but it's like, come on. Like, formal declarations of war, I feel like we may never do that again. Because what's the need? What's the need to formally declare war, unless you're in a World War II scenario?
And I'll be honest with you, the president does have broad authority to use defense for the... Basically, the term of art, I believe, is that they... For saving life, limb, and property in American interests.
Yes, exactly. That's why it's like, I feel like this is the perfect example of that. Saving life, limb, and property from Americans from Trinidad and Tobago. I feel like it's very, we don't even have to attack Venezuela. Just get them out. Just get them out. Like that, I don't know. Seems silly.
It's an AUMF. It's not a declaration of war.
Yeah.
It was just an AUMF. Do you understand? You cannot ask for that. Listen, it's going to be interesting to watch.